Say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Can you give the Lord a shout of victory on Christmas Eve? Amen. Open your Bible with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, the New Testament, the Gospel of John. We're finishing our series on God with us that we've been in all month long. And if you haven't been with us, I encourage you to, you can get a CD of it in our bookstore on the way out, because we've been teaching as well on the weekends on Wednesday nights. And Wednesday nights have been just as good as the weekend. So I know a lot of you can't make it, so I encourage you to pick that up. As I said, next weekend we begin a brand new series entitled Don't Limit God. And I'm excited about that. I'm very excited about that. So tonight we conclude, tomorrow, this weekend, we conclude our series on God with us. I want you to look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. I'm going to have in the Amplified version on the overheads. And tonight, I want to talk to you about the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas. You know, when you say Christmas, like Kim said, to her, it's her favorite time of the year. But for other people, they just want to, they dread it. You know, they're not looking forward to it. They want to get through it very quickly. You know, it really is over-commercialized, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Right after Halloween, they started in November. You know, it's kind of, sometimes it's like that, over-advertised and commercialized. And I know some people don't know the true meaning of Christmas, so they don't know how to celebrate it. But we're here tonight, and we're celebrating Christmas together. And I want to share with you the real purpose of Christmas. And it's 3 points. Number one, the real purpose of Christmas is to reveal to us God's love. God loves us. That's the purpose of Christmas. Kim already said it, John 3:16, for God so loved us that he gave his son, right? A son and a child was born. So the purpose of Christmas is to reveal to us that God loves us. Number two is that God is with us. Number one is what? God loves us. Number two is God's with us. And number three, the purpose of Christmas is that God is for us. God loves us. God's with us, Emmanuel. And God is for us. And you know, those 3 points, if you can just walk away with that tonight, if you just write those down and you begin to meditate on those, and if you'll just make those as declarations for the new year, God loves me today. I don't need man's approval when I have God's approval. I don't have to live ashamed because I have been accepted. I'm going to get excited on Christmas Eve, family. So when you understand that God loves us, that Christmas is all about the purpose that God loves us. And when you have God's approval, that's what that means. You don't need man's approval. When you have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, you know you're accepted. You no longer have to live ashamed in guilt or condemnation. That you can live with confidence. And number three, the purpose of Christmas is that God is for us. Isn't that our slogan here at Church on the Rock? Isn't it on the windows? Isn't it out on the billboard? Isn't it on everything we do? God is for you. You see, every time you and I do anything to contribute to this ministry, you're sending the message out here and around the world, letting people know God's not against them. God's not mad at them. God loves them. God wants a relationship with them, and that God is for them. Amen. Can we have a praise break on Christmas Eve? Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise. Hallelujah. So say it with me. The purpose of Christmas is that God loves us, God with us, and God for us. You see, that'll give you a positive mental attitude. That will give you the proper perspective on life. when maybe you're not feeling so good about yourself, maybe the enemy is bringing up your past and your mistakes and wrong choices and decisions. Maybe when you feel lonely and you're afraid, you know, you need to remind yourself, God's with you. And when God is with you, you're a note taker, you never have to be afraid. When God is with you, you never have to feel alone. And then number three, the purpose of Christmas is that God is for us. And if God is for you, you don't need to win the favor of the community. God will grant you favor with the community. When God is for you and God is with you and you have a revelation of God's love to you, you have peace, you have joy, you take risk, you have bold faith, you're confident, you step out, you get out of the boat, you believe for bigger, you believe for greater, you believe that your best is in front of you, not behind you. So let's look at John 10:10. And here's, I love this scripture. Here's what it says. The thief, that's the devil, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came. And aren't we celebrating tonight when he came? Yeah, the purpose of Christmas, when he came. We're celebrating. Now, I understand he wasn't born in December. Really, he was born in October. Did you know that? Not December, October. But we celebrate it in December. And the big idea is that we celebrate his birth. And we really should do it more than just once a year anyway, right? Yeah. So why did he come? The purpose of Christmas is to love us. He wants to be with us. And he wants us to know that he is for us. And when you have those three points and you begin to declare them and you begin to live them out and you say it so much that it becomes real to you, you begin to enjoy life. Look what he says. Jesus said, I came that they might have, everyone say have, and that they might enjoy, everyone say enjoy. Isn't he a good God tonight? You see, God isn't the one behind the bad things that happen in your life. God isn't behind destruction, death. God isn't behind, God is not our problem. God is our source. God is your answer tonight. And Jesus came over 2,000 years ago that you would have life, that's eternal life. And that not only that, but that you would enjoy life. You see, Jesus wants us to enjoy our Christianity. Jesus wants us to enjoy going to church and living out what we learned there, 7:24. Jesus wants us to enjoy our salvation, not endure it, but enjoy it. He came that we would have life, that's eternal life, and that we would enjoy that life immediately, not having to wait till we get to heaven, but in the here, now, and now. And for you and I to enjoy that life, he came that we might have life and enjoy life. And you know, some Christians don't look like they're enjoying life. Some Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice, right? But you know, we're to have a smile on our face that affects your emotions, right? They tell you it starts there on our face with a smile. And so notice that he came. Why did he come 2,000 years ago? He came because he loved us, Emmanuel. He wants to be with us. That's a relationship. And number three, he wants us to know he's for us. He's not our enemy. He's not holding us back. He's not holding us down. He's not mad at us. He's not angry at us. He's for us. He came that you and I would have eternal life, live forever with him. And not only that, but that we would enjoy life in 2016, the last week, amen. Right now. Yes. Amen. You see, you know what they're telling me? Now, last weekend, we had the ice storm, and a lot of people couldn't go to church at any church. You know, that was terrible. But this weekend is Christmas weekend, and you know what they're saying tomorrow? On Kim's app tonight, it's supposed to be 60 degrees tomorrow. Yes. Christmas Day. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow afternoon? Ride my Harley Davidson. On Christmas Day, I'm going to enjoy what Jesus has given to me years ago. I'm going to enjoy myself celebrating December the 25th, 60-degree weather in St. Louis. Who said God can't do a miracle? Amen? Come on, let's give God a praise. That he came that you would have life. Thank you, Jesus. But that we would enjoy life to the full, and I like this, it's not just for us, this life, isn't it? Till it overflows. Wow. You know what that means? If you have something in your life that's overflowing, it's affecting those around you. See, our Christian life, wow, why did Jesus come? The purpose of Christmas is more than a tree and presents and advertisement and shopping and parties and, you know, hot cocoa and tea and all the above, cookies. That's all great, but it's more than that. It's all about Jesus loving us, wanting to be with us, and wanting us to know that God is for us. It's all about you and I having not to dread death. You see, that's a fear that everyone has. Everyone, human race on the planet, has the fear of death. But when you come to Christ and Christ comes in you, you receive eternal life. Your spirit comes alive. And now, even though you may pass by the grave, your body falls off, but your spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord in heaven. So that means no longer do you have to fear death. Isn't that awesome? So that you would have life and then enjoy life, and then you would enjoy it so much, you're a contagious Christian. It's overflowing. And your family and your friends, and they see the peace in your life and the joy in your life. They see that you're calm and rest and refreshed, and they want to know why. And you can tell them it's because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's why he came. Now, let's look at this tonight, these three points that I gave to you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and it's on the overheads for you, Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 19. And this is a prayer, and this is a prayer for the church at Ephesus. But couldn't we put it for the church in St. Peter's? Yeah. So it's for us as well. And you know what? It's a prayer all over for a revelation of God's love. It's a prayer for a revelation of God's love. You and I know God is love, right? God has love, and God loves. That's his nature. That's who he is. And so here the Apostle Paul is praying. And church, I pray this for you every day. I really do. I pray over this over you. I pray the Ephesian prayers, and I pray this over you and me and my family that today, God, so here's a takeaway, tomorrow morning, Christmas, I'm going to do it tomorrow afternoon when I'm on my motorcycle, that God, give us a revelation, a greater revelation of your love for us, because you know his love is powerful. What do you mean, Pastor? His love is so powerful that when you get a revelation, it brings transformation, doesn't it? Think about it now. Think about BC, before Christ, before you came to Christ. Remember how you used to act? Come on now. I don't see any angel wings here tonight. Remember how we used to act before we became a Christian? Wow. And then once we met Christ, and the Bible says when you meet Christ, you receive Christ, Romans 5:5, that the Holy Spirit pours the love of God, 1 Corinthians 13, in your spirit. Now you have the God kind of love. What we need to do is mature it, develop it, and know how to give it. And get a revelation of it, right? So notice that how you are now compared to how you used to be. Think about it. Think about how you used to be, but how you are now. What changed you? Love came to town. You know, love came to town. U2 and B.B. King, they sang a song called Love Came to Town. And you know what? When love comes into your life and my life, the God kind of love, it's transformational. I'm going to give you some things to write down, okay? The love of God is powerful. It's so powerful because it's unchangeable. The love of God is unchangeable. In other words, God's not going to love you and me any more than he loves us tonight on this Christmas Eve. God's not going to love us any more than he loves us now. The key is we've got to get a revelation of his love, and then we grow in that love. So God's love is unchangeable. You know, you and I both have been around people in our lifetime who at one time they may have loved you, but you said something you didn't mean to, you offended them, and the next time you saw them, they unloved you. They were a friend, now they're an unfriend. That hurts, doesn't it? Because a lot of times, I don't think any of us really mean to hurt anybody. We're not trying to offend people, but it happens, doesn't it? And that person that was so close is now so distant. That person was your friend, now is an unfriend. That person that said they loved you, they would be behind you all the days of your life, and now they're so far behind you, you can't see them. Come on now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. But see, God's love is transformational. God's love is unchanging. God's love never changes. Isn't that amazing? If you're taking a note taker, God's love, now I'm giving you revelation, God's love is reliable. God's love is unchanging. God's love is reliable. God's love, number three, is dependable. You know, tonight after church, Kim and I are going to go home and we're going to fix a sandwich and turn the lights on the tree and we're going to turn on probably an old Western. And guess what? My dog, Princess Anna, who you've heard more than you want to about, she's going to run and jump on my lap and lick me and kiss me and be so glad, like Dino in the Flintstones. That's kind of what she's like. And she's going to tackle me. Isn't it wonderful? It's so good that her love is dependable. I know every time I go home, she's going to love on me. Well, you know, God's love is unchanging. It's reliable. Number three, it's dependable. God's love, number four, I love this one, is unconditional. Unconditional. That means God doesn't love me based on my performance. Isn't that good? See, God doesn't love you and me based on our performance, because if we weren't performing, we make mistakes and we fall short. We don't read our Bible enough. We forgot to pay our tithe. We miss church. Is God going to love us less? No. No. Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God loved us. And then it says, this is Romans chapter 5, and then it says in verse 9 and 10, how much more now that you're his sons and daughters does he love you? Oh my goodness. So God's love. Well, the purpose of Christmas, number one, I forgot. Would you tell me was God's love? Well, I'm giving you too much. Am I giving you too much? The purpose of Christmas, 3 points, was number one, God loves us. Number two, God's with us, Emmanuel. Number three, God for us. See, if we get a hold of this and you begin to think on this until it becomes real, it'll revolutionize your life for next year. Oh, not just rhetoric, but revelation. It's God's love. God's love. We have to have a revelation. This whole prayer is, God, give us a revelation of your love. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unchanging. God's love is reliable. God's love is dependable, right? That's four. And number five, God's love is transformational. And number six, God's love must be foundational. God's love must be your foundation. You see, you and I should not love God for what he gives to us. We should love God for who he is to us. I'll run that by one more time. We shouldn't love God for what he gives to us. That's one of the things that are wrong with the prosperity gospel, when people take it too far and they just focus on the gifts of God. And what happens when they don't get a gift from God? They stop loving him. See, we shouldn't base our love, our faithfulness, on what God does or gives. We should base our love and faithfulness on who he is. Bottom line. Because he never changes. Amen? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Oh my goodness. So his love for me should be my foundation. Not if he answers my prayer to heal me, and he will, but not if he answers my prayer for a new job, better car, right mate, he'll heal my body. No, no. My love shouldn't be based on what he does or does not do. How many people have we come across in our lifetime that used to go to church and they prayed and didn't get their answer and doubted God's love and backslid and now aren't in church? They were serving God for what he does or doesn't do. You and I don't love God. You see, my parents, they're both in heaven, but I didn't love them for what they gave me at Christmas, because they didn't have much to give me at Christmas. We got one toy, and then we would get another gift. We'll always be clothes. And as a kid, that's the last thing you wanted, was clothes. Come on, a little guy, you know? We would get two presents. My parents, you know, we didn't get lots of presents growing up. I didn't love them for what they gave me. I loved them for who they were. I don't serve God because he gives me favor or he prospers me or blesses me and he wants to do all that, but I love him because he first loved. Am I communicating tonight? So you see, the love of God that God has for us should be our foundation, not perks, not gifts, not blessings, not increase, not flourishing. And I agree in all that, but those are byproducts. Those are fringe benefits that will follow you all the days of your life. Yeah, if we put him first. Can we have a praise break? Come on, this is Christmas Eve. We're celebrating the Savior. Amen. All right? So look here. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, aren't you glad God's your source? He has unlimited. You know, folks, I'm not going to get very far tonight. I got a feeling because you are all so awesome. You're just pulling it right out of me. But look at God's unlimited resources tonight. You know, if there's lack in your life, don't focus on your lack. Focus on his unlimited resources. Now, this is a prayer for a revelation of God's love. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will what? Empower you with inner strength by the Holy Spirit, capital S. Remember, what's happening on the inside eventually manifests on the outside. So we want God at work on the inside. We want to let him work on the inside, right? So this is a prayer that you and I can pray every day over our family, our kids, our mate, ourselves, our church. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength by his Holy Spirit. Next verse. Then Christ will make his home in your heart. Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him. Your roots, oh, I like this. Your roots, we can be stable in an unstable world. Your roots will grow down into what? Where should be your roots? In God's gifts? No, in God's love. Where should be our foundation in what he does for me? No way, but who he is to me, our Heavenly Father. Notice that your roots, your foundation should be built on the love of God. Boy, I'm going somewhere. I hope you're with me. Are you with me? Is this helping anybody tonight? This should be answering lots of questions. Well, why doesn't God do this? And why doesn't God do that? You know, if he never does it, I'm going to serve him. I don't serve him for what he does. I serve him for who he is. I didn't love my parents for what they did for me. I loved them because they were my parents. Does that make sense? So notice that he says that make him at home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you what? Oh, a revelation of God's love will bring strength into your life. You won't need the approval of your parents, your friends, your siblings, those around, your peers. You won't need the approval of anybody because you've been accepted in the beloved by God Almighty. Wow, knowing that God loves me makes you strong. You no more will you compare yourself with other people. You will no longer walk with insecurity, but you will have security because you know God loves you. And that God is with you, and that God is for you. Oh my goodness. So he says, I pray that your roots will go down into God's love. Everyone say God's love, and keep you strong. Next verse, verse 18. That you may have the power to what? He's praying that the light would come on, that the scales would come off our eyes, that we would get a revelation of this love. He says, I pray that you would have the power to understand as all God's people, what? I'm doing my job then, aren't I? Because we should pray for a revelation and be taught to pray and how to pray of God's love every day. Because it's his love that is reliable and dependable, unchanging, unconditional. His love is transformational. His love is foundational. If I build my walk on his love, I'll not be moved. When things happen, or don't happen, because I know who he is. Oh my goodness. I know he loves me, know he's with me, know he's for me because of Christmas, okay? So he says that you may have the power, the revelation, the see, spiritual eye, as all God's people should, how wide. Notice four dimensions, how wide. Isn't that good? How wide it is. That wide there means that everywhere, God's love goes with you and me everywhere. Even that day we feel unloved, he still loves us. Even that day that we forgot to pray, He still loves us. Even that day, we forgot to pray for others. We forgot the automatic giving. We forgot the sharing our faith. We really wasn't Christ-like at Christmas, at the Christmas dinner. He still loves us. His love is wide. I like that. It's everywhere. And then it says, how long? Long there is a reference to it's forever. It's unending. Isn't that amazing? Another characteristic, a revelation of God's love. It's unending. No matter what you and I do, we can never stop God from loving us. Isn't that awesome? You know, you've heard about parents threatening their children. If you don't stop that, I'm not going to love you. God never says that. God never, never plays games. God never threatens. God never says, you know, either you come to me or I'll never love you. He loved us when we were sinners. He loves everybody who even goes to hell. God still loves them. Pastor, how could God love people and send them to hell? He hasn't sent anybody there. They choose to go there. God's love is unending. So how wide? It's forever. It's everywhere. How long? It's for everywhere. How deep? Notice how high and how deep. How deep? That means that it can handle everything you and I go through. Handle everything you and I go through. And how high? Overlooks our mistakes. Four dimensions of God's love. He's praying that we get a revelation of how deep his love is. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. May you experience, now everyone say experience. May you experience, you know what that means? Experience. That means to feel. Now I know we don't walk by feelings, but boy, isn't it great when you feel the presence of God? I feel him here right now. Emmanuel with us. Isn't it wonderful? He says, I not only want you to know me, I want you to experience me. Personally, I want you to feel my presence. That's amazing. He said that you would experience or feel the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand totally, it's so amazing, so vast. Then you will be made complete with the what? Fullness of life and power that Now, I know, don't miss this, but verse 19 tells us the benefit of having a revelation of God loving us. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. We're celebrating over 2,000 years ago when Christ was born, and he came that you and I might have life, that we might enjoy life, and that our life, that would overflow, we'd be a contagious Christian, and we'd be salt and light and affect people around us for the good. And then we found out that God loves us. We need a revelation. And that's what we're talking about right now, this revelation of God's love, praying for it every day. God, give me a revelation. Because verse 19 says that the benefit of understanding God's love for you is what? Completeness with the fullness of life. That's the benefits. These are the benefits and the power that comes from God. The power that comes from God, the favor, the increase, the prosperity, the blessing, the healing, the complete life, the abundant life. Notice you and I will never experience the abundant life until we get a revelation of God's love. Did you get that? You and I will never experience, this is the benefit as the team comes out. This is the benefit, verse 19, of the prayer for a revelation of God's love. He said, then you'll experience his presence. You'll feel his presence. You'll experience his presence. It'll manifest in your life. God with us, God for us. And then you will experience the benefits that he loads you down daily with. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Notice that you'll walk in the fullness of his power, of his presence, of his prosperity, of meaning and purpose and significance. Isn't that incredible? Now, let me break it down for you. Here's how this works. You see, if you doubt God's love, you won't enjoy all of his blessings. If you believe that God puts sickness on you, then you won't ask for healing. If you believe that God doesn't want to give you the desires of your heart, then you'll never ask for more. If you don't believe that God has the perfect job for you, the perfect life for you, then you'll never seek it, go after it. But when you understand the revelation of God's love for you, oh my goodness, the depth, the height, the width, the breadth, when you get a revelation of God's love every day, we grow in that, then what happens? Strength comes and benefits follow because then your faith kicks in. Faith works by love. So if you and I are wavering, does God love me? I made mistakes. I blew it this year. I fell short. I didn't tithe. I didn't come to church. Like I didn't read my Bible. What was all that? You know, God's love is unconditional. And when you and I get a revelation every day, a new one of God's love, guess what? Your faith goes to a new level. Because faith works by love. The degree and revelation of my have for God loving me, God with me, God for me, determines what my faith can do or cannot do.